I always feel like there's always two buckets of people. It's either someone who has a dream who's either telling me they can't do it, or it's someone else who is super capable but doesn't have their true north.
Welcome to Hardly Working, a podcast about how we can improve work, life, and everything in between. These are recordings from live conversations on Fishbowl, a social network where professionals of the same industry have anonymous career conversations. You can join us live next time on the Fishbowl app. We have events every day. Okay, let's do this.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Tuesday. I'm here. I'm excited. Today, we have Payal Kadakia. She is the founder of ClassPass, the leading fitness and wellness membership that was acquired by Mindbody in October 2021. Payal is the founder and artistic director of the Saw Dance. Is that how it's pronounced?
Yep, Saw Dance Company.
Sadhana's company. It was founded in 2009 with a mission to increase awareness of Indian dance in the mainstream and serve as a platform for expressing the Indian American identity through movement. She also has been featured on Fast Company's 100 Most Creative People and was named the Fortune's 40 Under 40 list. Her first book, Life Pass, which is out now, Life Pass, Drop Your Limits, Rise to Your Potential, came out in February and is now available to order. And where can people find your book?
You can go to lifepassbook.com, and there's also a goal-setting workshop that is attached to it if you buy it.
Perfect. Okay, so we'll kick it off. And just for everyone's knows, I'm Rachel Dwyer. I'm a project manager here at Fishbowl. And so if you have any questions during the conversation, feel free to send me a direct message, and we'll get to your question. And how you do that is you click on my profile, and then you can send me a DM. So click on my profile, and then I'll say message, and then you can send me a quick message. And so we'll get to your question. So now that everyone knows where they can find your book, my next question is, what inspired you to write a book? We have a lot of authors that come on Fishbowl, and everyone's reasoning is a little different. So what inspired you, since I know it's a big feat, to actually write a book?
You know, I always felt it was a bit of a responsibility. And the reason I say that is, I know I have lived my life sort of by a different set of rules and sort of expectations on myself and planning ever since I was honestly a pretty young girl. And because of that, and I know, you know, I've been able to achieve not just, I don't really like anchoring on the word success, but I like anchoring on the word fulfillment. And I feel like I've really been fulfilled by the projects I've taken on in my life, the things I've done in my life. And people have always asked me how I did it. So I really wanted to write this book as a way and a roadmap for others to really go on a similar journey in their own lives at any age.
I love that, because I think especially right now we're seeing on Fishbowl, people are talking about career pivots. People are really interested in like side hustles and, you know, finding kind of what they're passionate about and good at right now. So I think that's really relevant with our audience. What can people expect to learn, you know, from Life Pass? Like, what are some kind of key takeaways they can get from the book?
Yeah, so the first part of the book is really all about different constraints that we've all faced in our lives when it comes to our dreams. And I go through mental constraints, so things like fear of failure, society's expectations, you know, even identity struggles that we might all have and feeling different. And I also walk through real constraints in people's lives, whether that be money, time, people, skills. And a lot of these things keep us away from going after what we want. And what I really want people to do, and through the exercises and through my stories, I give people a way to work through these constraints that they might be facing so they can unblock them. And then the whole last third of the book is actually a goal setting methodology that I have developed in my own life across, you know, my professional and personal life that helps me really set actionable goals quarter by quarter. And I really wanted to give this to other people, so once again, they can live a very, you know, fulfilled life in all aspects that they want to.
I love that. And so from your book, you talk about your unique goal setting method. What can you share about that and like how you came up with that?
Yeah, so I came up with it in the winter of 2013 when ClassPass honestly was just about to take off. And I felt I had really caught lightning in a bottle with the product. But my personal life felt like it was not going exactly the way I wanted to. And this came from my health, relationships. I wasn't dancing as much as I used to. And I really knew that I needed to set a plan in place and find a way to do goal setting similar to the way I did in my professional life in my personal life. And I also knew a lot of people who knew how to set goals personally, but not professionally. So I realized I needed a system that put it all together versus being disparate. And that's really when I started doing something that was different. And I think what's really unique about the method that I do is the first three steps have nothing to do with goal setting at all, but they have to do with thinking about where you are in your life, where you want to go from an emotional standpoint and intention standpoint, and then, you know, going through an entire exercise where you look at your time and figuring out where you're going to focus for the next quarter only on setting goals. Because I have realized in my life, I can't do it all and all at the same time, right? I can eventually go and make progress in the areas that I want to intentionally, but I can't do it all at the same time. So I think it's really important to take stock of how we spend the hours of our life and then where we're going to focus that change as we go and goal set moving forward.
So I want to ask a little bit more about that. But first, just for everyone, for anyone that's not familiar with ClassPass, can you just give a little quick summary of what ClassPass is for anyone in the audience that's not familiar with it?
Yeah, so ClassPass is a monthly fitness and wellness membership that allows you to book different, you know, fitness and wellness experiences around the globe at this point.
Yes, and I also have used ClassPass in the past, and I really liked it as well. So shout out to ClassPass.
Love that. Absolutely. Love it.
And so kind of going back to what you said before about reevaluating, I think, you know, especially in the current climate, people have had to kind of readjust their goals. You know, a lot of things have, you know, been unpredictable with the pandemic and everything. How do you think kind of your method of goal setting, does it adjust for that? Or like, what kind of tips do you have for people that are dealing with that?
Well, you know, I always start everything I do with what my true north is, right? Whether that's my company, whether that's my art, whether that's my life. And what I really anchor on, which is step two of the process, which is coming up with what my dream words are for the year. And these aren't accomplishments like running a marathon or buying a house. These are truly the words I want to feel. I think what happens if we are very clear on our true north, when a tree falls in front of us, we know how to deal with it, right? We know where we still want to go. We don't lose sight of the direction we're trying to go. It might be a bit more challenging to cross, but we still realize that we still need to get to the other side. And I think that's really been the key to not just, you know, I think personal goal setting, but the success of anything I've done in my life is I've had a very strong sense of mission and a true north. That's always been the guiding light of where I need to go through, obviously, the good times and, more importantly, the bad.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think also, you know, kind of being kind to yourself during all of this, I think I can get from what you're saying. And also just finding that passion, I think that is important to have that true north. So I love that. So one thing that we haven't mentioned is that ClassPass is a $1 billion business, which congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you.
That's amazing. Not many people can say that. What part of your journey do you discuss in your book? And like, what do you want to share with the audience in terms of how you were able to do that?
So, you know, I'm very clear about this, like in the book too. I mean, the fact that Class has reached a $1 billion valuation is obviously such an incredible moment. And it mattered more to me because I realized that I was representing women. I was representing women of color. It mattered to me less in terms of my business. And I'll get to, you know, your question that you asked in this. It mattered to me more, like I said, about representation and what that meant for hopefully other women of color. In terms of, you know, hitting that valuation, in terms of what we would always strive for, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's about building a great product and a great business that serves, you know, your partners and your customers. At the end of the day, like, there is no amount of marketing that can sell a bad product, right? And I will say, you know, it took us a really long time. It took us 3 years to get our product right. But we really thought about what we wanted to do. And, you know, ClassPass, when it finally did work and we had the right product out there in the marketplace, the amount of people, you know, our customers and our members shared it with was incredible because it was this viral organic marketing strategy that we had that really sold the product to each other. And I think that's really what made ClassPass so magical is that it was this behavioral design product that we had really broken through that worked not just even in New York City, it worked across the US and it worked in Singapore and it worked in India and it worked in Australia. It really was something that transcended borders. And I think that's really what I'm honestly as a founder so so proud of is that we built a product that had to do with a human behavior challenge and getting people to try new things and stay active and you know, move through life by having these experiences that they can now have on ClassPass.
That's amazing. Did you dream, like on your board, did you say like, I want to reach $1 billion business?
No. I know that sounds strange, but no, like I think, you know, I actually would say like, I think this is sort of what has changed about entrepreneurship from when I started it 10 years ago. It's not having a $1 billion valuation or being a CEO or any of that that makes an entrepreneur a good entrepreneur. It's truly about building a good product and going out and wanting to every day make an impact and, you know, be better and motivate your team to keep moving forward. And I think, you know, one of the things, and I talk about this in the book a lot, is I talk about false signals of success. And to me, when I first launched my first product of ClassPass, and here I was, I went to MIT, I came out of a good career path at Bain, I had all the things pointing towards my success. And I sort of relied on the fact that, you know, we were getting press and followers, we got into a big incubator, people were giving me funding. And I realized those things were obviously telling me that I could be successful, but they were not success. What was success is someone actually going to class, someone paying me to go to that class, someone paying the provider to actually, you know, do the service that was requested. And I think it's very easy to get caught up in valuations and titles and all these things, but that's actually not the magic. The only thing that mattered to me and that mattered for the company was getting someone to class. And I think once I really realized that, that's really when I think the magic of ClassPass really transformed. And I would say even in our personal lives, a lot of the times, you know, society tells us success is, you know, getting a promotion at work, getting married, having kids, all these things that, once again, are false signals of success. What's important is to figure out what is your purpose, what is your passion, what do you love to do, and lead your decisions with that. And that's going to lead you in a much happier place. And I know you can look at my story and see the $1 billion valuation and see all these amazing success metrics, but the core of all of it was mission and purpose. And that's really, you know, what I anchor on in the book is how do you anchor in on that true north and at the same time make sure nothing stands in your way. And a lot of times society will pile on baggage to us that actually can make us lose sight of what that true mission was. And that's usually when companies go wrong or even in our personal lives we go wrong.
So just to kind of on a personal question for myself is listening to that, I think, especially now with just, you know, the world of social media and, you know, everything and people trying to kind of reach those fake accolades. Did you ever deal with, like, how did you stay towards your mission when I'm sure you got a lot of pushback and, you know, heard a lot of different things, especially as a woman founder? Like, how were you able to kind of tune out the noise and still focus on, like, what you really believed in?
You know, like I said, in the beginning, I honestly was doing it wrong. And I was focused on a lot of the noise that was coming externally. Honestly, it took me to fail to really drown it out. Because once the company, or not even the company, but the product failed, that's the day I really became an entrepreneur, because I realized that I wasn't in this for all of that. Like all that stuff, like I said, is just this window dressing, right? What mattered is what my business was actually doing, what was actually working in terms of engagement. Was I getting anyone to class? And once I felt the magic of that, and I remember jumping for joy the first time someone booked a class and that feeling I had. And, you know, I'm going to rewind a little bit back to my childhood and why, you know, even starting ClassPass was connected back to my why. Like I found dance when I was very young and Indian dance specifically. And it gave me a place to feel confident, to feel like myself, to express myself. And I think in a world where, you know, I had faced a lot of adversity, obviously just for being Indian American and always feeling like I didn't fit in, it was really nice to have this place I could always come back to. And through my college years, through my professional career, I always had this place that made me feel like myself. And I realized that so many people had given this up, right? As we get older and like I said, our jobs come in the way and life comes in the way and we forget these passions, right? That really truly fulfill us. And my life's journey was always to fight to keep dancing. And I realized when I was building this company, my fight was to help other people do that. So when I knew I got people to class, I truly felt that I had given them what dance always meant to me. And that was truly always what I was working towards. And once I felt that impact, and this is why I go back to impact so much in the book, once you felt a glimpse even of your sense of service and purpose to other people, these numbers and these metrics, they don't mean anything in comparison to feeling so enlightened by something you love in your life. And honestly, every single time someone went to class, and as the company got bigger, I would meet people who would be like, this company changed my life and this product changed my life. It gave me something that honestly, like, no amount of money could, no amount of press could, or anything else in the world, because it is so fulfilling to give to other people.
That's interesting. It's funny because I didn't realize that's why you started ClassPass, but I did actually. One of the main things that I did for ClassPass was do some like fun dance classes, as well as fitness. But it's interesting to learn that's what inspired you to start. So I do have one question in the direct messages. So the question that I have is, can we delve into more of your goal setting methodology?
Yeah, absolutely. So the whole process takes about 90 minutes, so we can't go into the entire part of the process. But what I can do is break down each of the steps for you. So step one is about reflecting, where I have folks really anchor in on what the themes of the last year were, right? And these are emotions and intentions. Like I said, these aren't, here's what I accomplished in the last year, but these are really, here's how I felt in the last year. And it's so important to know where we're starting from when we're going to do goal setting and dreaming, so you can take stock of where you are today. And then the second step of the process is to do this, but looking forward for the year and determining what words and themes do I really want to be prevalent through the coming year, right? So now what we're doing is we're anchoring ourselves on emotions of what I want to feel in the coming year versus, like I said, what I want to accomplish, right? We'll get to what we're going to accomplish, but first we need to anchor in on what is truly this idea of happiness to you, not other people, right? And so I always start with that. And then the third step is all about focusing. And I start with a sense of, like I said, taking stock of all the big buckets of my life, right? So work, family, dance, like all the big areas that take up my life. And I go and rate them to figure out how they are currently serving me and my dream where it's currently at the moment. And then to finish off the focus step, what I do is I circle only a few areas that I'm going to focus on for the next quarter. And so only, you know, few areas of my life are the ones I'm going to focus on for the goal setting, because you cannot make impact on every, you know, aspect of your life at the same time, because usually then if we try and do that, we feel like we don't actually make progress in anything. And I chose a quarterly goal setting method because for me, you know, annual resolutions always just felt like too long. And I think for most people, people forget them as they're doing it. And obviously weekly ones just felt too short and more in my, you know, and I do a weekly method that I have, but it's more for me and my priorities and my calendar versus something that I think is more drawn out to be really making impact across all areas of my life. So the quarterly method has really worked for me. So once I do that, I pick a few areas that I'm going to focus on, and then I set very minute, so about 3 to 4 goals within each section of my life. I set these very measurable, actionable goals. Some of the steps feel very tiny. It could be like, go and get groceries, or sign up for a tennis instructor. You know, it can be very, very specific and measurable. It shouldn't have words like more and less in there. It should be, you know, able to say something like, I'm going to work out 3 times a week, right? I'm going to read 2 books this quarter. It should be very specific and tangible for you to be able to help really make sure that you're actionable and can celebrate the progress you are making. And the reason I've learned this, you know, the small steps part, and I think, you know, obviously a lot of people have talked about it before, is, you know, I truly believe something like ClassPass was born, and I was confident enough to do it because of a dance show I put on in 2008, you know, and it was a small dance show. It was 100 people, but I set a goal and I executed on it and I did it well, and it made me more confident to do a bigger show. And then I did a bigger show. And then after that, I decided that I would start a company and take more and more leaps in my life. And so part of this is not just about the goal setting, but it's actually about building a way to set goals and complete them. So it builds you confidence to keep taking bigger, bigger leaps in your life.
I love that. I feel like I have done a messier version of that. So I was taking notes because I definitely want to apply that to my own life and organization. Okay, so moving on, I have a few DMs. I'll just wait for those questions to come through. So the next question I have for you is something that you kind of touched on, is that you speak about your childhood as an Asian American growing up in New Jersey in the 90s. What do you hope readers can learn from reading about your story of overcoming microaggressions as an Indian girl in a predominantly white suburb of America?
You know, I think one of the biggest things I learned in looking back at this is how important it is for the world to be educated about different parts of, you know, all different ethnicities, different people, and where they're coming from. And I think for me, it took me to kind of go on a journey towards my own roots to even find and uncover the beauty of my own culture. And, you know, once again, that happened for me in dance, you know, and I did get made fun of a lot when I was younger. I felt like I never fit in, but I luckily had a community near me that was Indian, and, you know, there was a lot of festivals and family gatherings, and I felt very accepted there. And I think having that community was really helpful. And the more I learned more about where I came from, whether it's like my grandmother and my ancestors, I just felt like I had unlocked the beauty of where I had come from. And I honestly felt so proud in that eventually, you know, instead of living dual identities, I wanted to put it all together. And so, you know, I really think of Sa Dance Company, which is my dance company, as a way that I blended my Indian and American sides. And I think of ClassPass as a way I also blended my business and creative side. You know, I think that's a different duality I had throughout my entire life. I was an artist and I also went to MIT. And I think I always was trying to reconcile both things in my life, and entrepreneurship really allowed me to be my full self. And I think that's really, you know, what we need to help people do is be their full self, you know, at their jobs and whatever they're doing, so they don't show up with only a part of them. And I've realized throughout my life, whenever I was able to be all of me, I have completely thrived. And I've been in environments where I only was a part of me. And I mean, that looks like a complete different version than the person I know I was capable of and the person I eventually did, you know, become as I built ClassPass.
I love that. I feel like that's such an important thing for everyone, just in general. And, you know, even if they're not doing something as, you know, amazing as ClassPass. Well, I don't want to say that. I think everyone's doing something amazing. But, you know, hitting a goal of a $1 billion company, you know, is a huge feat. But I do think that, you know, more and more we're seeing, even on, you know, on Fishbowl, people are talking about microaggressions and dealing with, you know, how to have the proper kind of DEI support at their company. So I think that that's really important for the audience to hear kind of how you dealt with that. And, you know, you can overcome it and really become your whole self at work. And that's okay. And that's a great thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's really about thinking about if you're a leader, how do you enable other people to do that for other team members, right? And, you know, with all the DEI conversations going on, which are fantastic, it's really not thinking about these things as percentages and check marks. It's about actually understanding the value in them. And I think that's such an important part of what everyone really has to do is, what is the importance of a diverse set of voices in the room and what impact can that have?
Since it is Women History Month, and I'm glad we're having this conversation in March, I think it's quite fitting. Do you see a lot of people that look like you kind of in your space, in your type of level of work? Is that something that you see a lot or you see improving? Kind of how do you see that in the future?
Well, I'll start with saying, you know, I've always charted my own journey. So I don't ever, even when you say like my line of work and all of that, like I think I've always just existed in a space that is something new that I'm creating, right? And I think I just want to even start with that because I think it's so important for all of us to realize, especially as entrepreneurs and people who are sort of charting their own paths, is our territories are actually all unknown, right? And so whatever that is, but in sort of the tech VC world, yes, like there were a lot of men that I would always be around. And I think what I realized is I had to just work harder and prove more, you know, through the journey. And yes, is that fair? No, you know, that's not fair at all. But that's what I had to do. And I was up for the challenge because I wasn't going to let anything stop me, you know, and I think that's the mentality to walk in with, is having the confidence to say, I'm going to figure this out no matter what, either you're with me or you're not. And that's really what I feel like I always led with, because there wasn't a part of me that thought I was not going to be able to figure this out. I think that's really the key here, is I was on a mission and I wasn't going to let anyone stop me in getting to where I wanted.
Yeah, that's great. I think I always hear people talking about kind of letting go of those like self-doubt or those like you can't do it thoughts. And I do believe that is really an important part of it, that you have to believe you can do it because you're the only one that will do it.
Yeah. And if you have the self-doubt, try it and fail. I mean, my success is because of my failure, 100%. And I have failed many times and I'm grateful for my failures because it taught me how to learn from them and get back up and try again. And life isn't easy. No part of entrepreneurship is easy. And I think the more you do stuff and evaluate it and learn from it, the better you can make a decision in the future.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I personally see failure as you giving up on it, because I think, you know, things can pivot, things can change. You don't always have control over everything. But I think the only failure is like not giving yourself that chance and keep going with it. At least that's how right. I see it.
Yeah, it's indecision in a way, right? Staying comfortable.
Exactly. So I do have another question from the audience. This question is, in their opinion, it's easier for you to get into stronger networks because you're a founder and you have that background. Do you have any advice for someone who doesn't have those big name credentials to break into new areas and industries?
Yeah. And look, that, you know, it's a great question. And I do obviously feel blessed that, you know, once again, my parents sacrificed their life for the education of me and my sister. That being said, I realize obviously not everyone has that. And if you don't, I would say, I think the best thing you can do is find people who believe in you, who have somewhat of that credibility. Because usually when you have to do introductions and all of that, the most important thing is the person who's going to introduce you. And so how do you cultivate relationships with, you know, people who can get you in the door of these things and help you get the credibility that you need. Like, you are always building your resume in a way, right? It's not just about where you worked. It's really about how you may have worked on a side project and someone felt about your work. I think we always forget that everything follows us as we do it. And I've had people who I did a dance project with recommend me and give me money on the other side of things. And then I've had people who I worked with at Bain come and, you know, help me get investors. So I think it really is about the work you do and making sure you always do a great job and then reaching out to people who in your network that you immediately know who can help you either find the right people or introduce you to the right people.
That's great. And I do see networking being a pretty popular topic on Fishbowl. And, you know, people do love to network on the app as well. Do you have any, I do see though that sometimes people, their kind of networking is like, do this thing for me, like XYZ, without it being like a reciprocal relationship. Do you have any tips so that people don't just, you know, send people and ask like kind of a favor? How did you go about it? Or like, how was the kind of that nuance of networking, but also not just kind of like asking a bunch of people for favors directly?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really about connecting with someone truly and being vulnerable enough to ask them a good question. You know, I feel, especially as somebody who now I know gets a lot of messages, I care most when I know someone's done their research about me. Like, they're not asking me some generic question that they can read in an interview here or there, or, you know, that there's like no depth to. I think it's really about being prepared when you're going and speaking with somebody and asking them a thoughtful question that, you know, they're, like you said, it's going to be reciprocal and what they can get out of the relationship as well. And it's usually, you know, if you want a partnership with anyone, I would never start with what you want in the partnership right away. I would first build the relationship.
I think that's great advice. So for everyone that is interested in networking, I would definitely follow those tips. So the next question that I have from the audience is, how do you cultivate your relationships?
I think it comes down to being authentic, not really putting up an act. It's really about showing up as like my true self. What can I also give to the other person? You know, even when you're looking for a mentor, why do people mentor? Because they want to feel like they are helping somebody, right? So are you saying thank you? Are you being grateful for the relationship? I think it's really about the back and forth part of it. And, you know, what I've learned, especially in a lot of relationships and especially professional ones, it's not about saying, okay, like we're going to have a meeting every single week. You know, I've had certain people in my life who have been people I talk to every single day during a certain, you know, phase of the company. And then there'll be like a year where we don't talk because we're in a different phase and it's not maybe, you know, the problem might not be in the area of their expertise or where they're helping. And I think what's important is to always say thank you and be appreciative of the relationship. And like I said, be authentic. Like, don't just have somebody on your, you know, in your board, like personal board of directors, because they have a big name or something like that. Like, really think about how they make you feel. And like I said, how you probably make them feel.
Love that. So I got another question from the audience. And this one says, how did you come up with the idea for ClassPass? For them, the ClassPass networking has saved them countless times and introduced them to new studios and new people and saved them money on studio pricing as well.
Yeah, so I have been a dancer my whole life, and I was always looking for dance classes to take, even during my busy work schedule. And one day I went online to go find a new ballet class to take, and I couldn't find it. And it inspired me to build a similar website to OpenTable at the time, which this product idea didn't work for ClassPass. But I really wanted to help people, you know, find what I always had in dance in their life and at any age. And so that's really where it started from.
It's awesome. And I also, I agree with their question and their feedback on ClassPass. I also, as I mentioned, I was a user of ClassPass before the pandemic, and I always had fun time joining the different classes.
I love it. It never gets old. Like I said, I'm so happy that, you know, people, like I said, have had such a positive experience in their life from it. I mean, I know a lot of people want to talk about the $1 billion number, but to me, what I am most proud of is 100 million hours of people's lives that we've had our hand in, and they've been able to do these beautiful soul nurturing experiences because of the product we built.
So just going back to your book, and I know we kind of talked about your inspiration for it, but did you write this book with like a certain audience in mind? From just scrolling through, we have a pretty diverse audience here, but did you have anyone in mind as you wrote the book, or who do you think would really kind of have a huge takeaway from reading your book?
I mean, this book is really, like I said, for anyone who is feeling, you know, stifled towards a dream they have or needs some guidance on their dreams. You know, I think I've been lucky enough to be surrounded by all different types of people, creative and then also business and then different age groups as well. And what I really took in what constraints I think I heard across all of them in terms of where they want to go in their life. And, you know, I always feel like there's always two buckets of people. It's either someone who has a dream who's either telling me like they can't do it because of some reason, some constraint, which I go through in the book, or it's someone else who is super capable, doesn't have the constraints, but doesn't have the true north. And that's why, you know, I anchor the whole book in the first chapter is all about finding that calling and finding that true north, because without that fire, I mean, you could be unbelievably capable in your life, but where are you going to put that, right? And the fire is what makes it all worth it.
So for everyone, the book is for everybody. Everyone with a passion and figuring that out. So I'm excited to get my hands on the book after this chat and read it. So I'm excited for that.
Love that.
And just quick, so you, as we mentioned before, you're a woman of color and you built, you know, a unicorn company. Are you hoping more women will be inspired to get into entrepreneurship after seeing you reach, you know, this huge milestone?
Absolutely. You know, what I care about most is that I inspire women to live the life that they feel is most authentic to them. Like, I think that's really what I care about the most. It's, you know, even for me, I never signed up to be an entrepreneur. I signed up to solve a problem in the world and make an impact. And I think that's really where the conversation needs to start, is I want to empower anyone in the world to do whatever they choose to authentically to make a difference. And, you know, I think for women, there's a whole set of just extra societal pressures that come in that, you know, and I go through a lot of these things in my book, from, you know, marriage and just having like a normal life that society thinks they should have, and how you navigate those things, and how it's so important, whether, you know, it is entrepreneurship or being an artist or even wanting to stay at home with your kids, like whatever it is you choose, just do it well and do it with your whole heart and be there for it. And I think that's really a big part of the message. I think on the entrepreneurship side, the only thing I would say is I want to obviously help women think bigger in terms of, you know, the types of businesses they can build, right? Like that's the other thing. And being able to raise more capital for their businesses to be able to compete with the capital, obviously going towards more male-centric companies.
I love that. And I definitely agree. There's, obviously, for women, we have a little bit extra kind of expectations with family and kids and things. So
absolutely.
Love to hear that, because whatever you want to do, that's totally fine. Just love doing it.
Yeah, just make it your why. You know, it's you know, like, I don't think there should be no judgment in it, but you should be the first person to not judge yourself for it. It should really be coming from you saying, this is really what I want to do, and this is what I enjoy doing, and not letting anyone else take that away from you.
Yes, and I think that's super important, especially now. I think everyone's kind of taking that time to figure things out, so, you know, whatever makes you happy, it doesn't have to be what you thought it was going to be. So
exactly.
I love that message. So we talked a little bit about your kind of your dance background. Do you plan to be doing more with dance moving forward?
Absolutely. I mean, I will never stop dancing. And I actually feel a sense of freedom right now. I mean, you know, class was acquired at the end of last year and I didn't get a chance to take a break yet because I had my book coming out right after. So I'm sort of in the midst of all of that. But I, you know, I really, dance has always, like I said, been this way for me to share more about where I came from and the beauty of my culture. And I have always felt so passionate about that. So we will continue to be dancing and performing. I'm planning an Indian ballet that I'm writing right now, which I'm hoping to tour in the coming years. So, you know, just waiting for some of the pandemic stuff to pass, but looking forward to that. And of course, I'm never going to stop dancing.
So for people that joined recently, we were talking about the Saw Dance Company that Pale founded in 2009, and their mission is to increase awareness of Indian dance in the mainstream and serve as a platform for expressing the Indian American identity through movement. So where can people find that? Or is it something that is located in a certain area? Or how can people get involved in that?
Yeah, so you can go to sawdancecompany.com. That's S-A Dance Company. .com. And we have dancers in both New York and LA, but we're a performing arts company. So we focus more on doing, you know, dance festivals and sort of presenting ourselves at different theaters that are presenting, you know, prestigious dance companies. And, you know, it's been an important thing for me to just have more Indian art, you know, being something that was such a big part of my life growing up. And, you know, I literally learned to dance in basements, right? There was no ballet school, or there was a ballet school, but there was no school for Indian dance, obviously near me. So a lot of us trained in basements around us. And, you know, one of the most important people in my life is my dance teacher. I consider her my guruji, but Usha Aunty, you know, and I talk a lot about her in the book and how she really set me up for life. And the way I was trained in Indian dance really gave me a way to conquer life. And I honestly, when I look at my success now, like I think a lot of those attributes came from learning how to dance at a very young age and the fulfillment I received from that. And so I'm very thankful for that. And, you know, just hope to keep bringing the experience of India through, you know, and through the lens of the Indian American identity to the world.
Yeah, I love that. I definitely have seen continued growth. I feel like people kind of reconnecting their cultures, wanting to share it more and, you know, be proud of kind of where they came from and all that. So I definitely think that's amazing. Everyone, those are in those areas, please check it out. So you briefly mentioned that kind of going back to class passes, you mentioned that they were acquired recently. What are your hopes, since we had many people mention that, you know, they're fans of ClassPass, they use ClassPass. What are your hopes for the company moving forward?
Yeah, you know, and I obviously am no longer officially involved, but, you know, the vision of ClassPass was always to connect people with soul-nurturing experiences. And while, of course, people know us as a fitness company, we always built it more as a lifestyle brand to connect people to different experiences. And even during the pandemic, we launched beauty and wellness experiences that people could have on there. Because like I said, it's really about getting, you know, out of your day-to-day, going and do something fun, trying something. The original vision actually had creative classes on there too, like cooking and painting and drawing and music classes as well. So, you know, that to me, it's really just continuing to help people, you know, nourish their soul and keep doing these amazing experiences in the world that, you know, so many providers are providing. And I think on the other side of this pandemic, we're going to need it even more.
One question on that, and kind of you talking about your vision and growth, is something like acquisition something that you had thought of, or it was on kind of your list of something to happen?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the relationship between Mindbody and ClassPass started back in 2012, when before I'd even launched my company. And Mindbody was actually helping to fulfill a lot of the reservations we had placed on our platform on the front end. And so while customers had a ClassPass membership and they would come and book classes, many of the times the studios we worked with had Mindbody as a reservation platform. And so we would be booking the classes through them anyway. So we were already working very closely together. And I think we all knew it was a matter of when, not if, we would come together. And when, especially, you know, with the pandemic and everything that had happened, we knew that it was best to come together now to help the entire industry on the other side of this with both of our, you know, energies and strengths together and being better together to help the entire industry obviously survive.
Awesome. Yeah, I just slowly started dipping my toe back into the fitness industry with everything happening, but yeah, I will definitely check out ClassPass and other classes.
Yeah, I mean, I've been going to class again, so it feels good. For sure. Yeah.
I feel like we're kind of taking a turn. At least I, for some reason, fitness classes signal that a little bit to me. Feeling yeah. safe in them. So I don't know if that's an official.
I went to a bar class last week and I didn't have to wear a mask and I was so happy.
Yeah. That's my indicator of like things are moving forward. Nothing official or.
Right. Exactly.
That's something that I see as being hopeful. So hopefully people see that as helpful as well. So now that you kind of moved on from ClassPass and, you know, moved on from what you created, what's next for you minus your book?
You know, I am in the process of doing the same work I would say I honestly start my book with is, you know, trying new things, like making sure I listen to myself. It's hard in a way to jump to new things. Like, I think it's very easy to in the sense of I have a ton of opportunities. And I think there's a sort of path that a lot of entrepreneurs take after, you know, they sort of exit their companies. But I've always charted my own journey. And so I'm going back and I'm doing the hard work right now about looking back into my why, rethinking about what I want to do. And honestly, I want to set myself up for the next decade or two, right? I don't want to just jump into something. So I'm in an explore phase and it's definitely harder after, you know, things have been so fast, but I'm also enjoying the moment to really reflect and connect back to the true north, which, like I said, was the guiding light for me over this past decade or two, as being the same cornerstone for the next decade or two for me.
That's awesome. I'm excited to see what's next from you. But we did get a few questions.
Sure.
That I want to try to get to is, so what were your biggest challenges during 2020? And then how did you confront them?
Well, on the professional level, I would say that, well, you know, we started the year with a $1 billion valuation and literally 2 months later, 95% of our studios were shut down because of the pandemic. So I think our attention immediately went to how do we keep our studios alive, right? Because they had fixed cost businesses. Many of them had to let their entire staff go. They couldn't obviously have people coming in the door, so they had no revenue but fixed costs. So we really turned our efforts into finding ways to keep bringing them income. And that was obviously, we did a lot of things with the government to help them. And then at the same time, we had a live stream program where people could pay the studio owners directly because we knew it was so important to not only obviously keep them alive, but keep our customers active, right? I think that was another part of the mission. Like I said, it wasn't about losing sight of the mission. We clearly had a huge tree that fell in front of us. And we just needed to find a way to keep people active. So on a professional level, it was really just navigating that and the uncertainty of the times. I think one of the hardest parts that I think everyone went through is we just didn't know how long it was going to be. So it was harder to sort of plan for the uncertainty. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, we made a lot of decisions to become more efficient in the business in terms of, you know, reducing costs and having more productivity. So I think those things really ended up benefiting the company in the long term. And, you know, personally, I actually had my first child in January of 2020. So literally 6 weeks before the pandemic, I became a mom. And so there was obviously other challenges and just this idea of, you know, not going outside the house and protecting him and, you know, not being able to sort of travel the way I was used to. That was obviously just different. But I anchored in back on dance. And, you know, during that time, I remember finding a way to connect back into dance and realizing, you know, my dance company actually, it's funny you asked where they were based. I mean, we were actually mostly based in New York. And then I had a part of the company in LA. And what I decided to do, and so many of the girls were, some of them were in Hong Kong, some of them were in London. I decided to start a weekly Zoom practice for all the girls that were in the company for the past 10 years. And I had about 15 girls every single week. And we've honestly been doing this since, I think, April of 2020. We've rehearsed and practiced every single week of for the last 2 years. And I think just having a practice like that, having a community like that, and being able to dance with something that, you know, I think made me feel good too, even in the midst of becoming a mom, dealing with the trend, you know, the COVID stuff that was going on with my company. And, you know, I think just like I said, that uncertain time, at least I had something to anchor me, which I felt good about.
Love that. And congrats on the baby.
Thank you.
I know a lot. I feel like that's been a theme for all my friends during the pandemic. There's a lot of babies.
Yeah. COVID happening. Babies.
Yes. A lot of COVID babies. So I have another question. What are your key themes in your point of view for the next decade that you want to focus on? Like the key themes in your life?
That's such a great question. And, you know, in all honesty, like, and I think this is what I always do, like I'm working with a professional coach on it. Like I always love, and this is like advice I have for anyone. I mean, I had a CEO coach while I was building ClassPass. Like I love having like a third party person to sort of speak with about all things in my life. And, you know, I know for me, obviously I have a family now, and that's obviously an important part of my life. But, and at the same time, I know I will always remain and stay an ambitious woman. So it's figuring out how I set that up and in a way that works for, like I said, both my family and my ambition. And in terms of, you know, key themes, I think for me, it's, you know, about creativity. Like I have kind of explored my artist side, but at the end of the day, you know, ClassPass clearly took over a lot of my time, and I've been able to create some beautiful work through my dance company, but that's really been with 20% of my time. So I am looking forward to sort of exploring more of my creative side and the potential of that. And another big thing I think that is important to me is getting my culture, my, you know, all my South Asian culture on more of the mainstream, sort of mainstream pop culture, right? I think I want us to be more represented. I care more about cultivating our identity here in America because, you know, we're here and we're a part of global culture, and it's important to me because I know it's been a big part of my identity and where I've gotten in my life that I really want to make sure that people feel how, like I said, the richness of where we've come from.
Love that. So I think we have time for one last question that I have in my direct messages. So this person asked, so they have a hard time taking the next step towards their goals because it can affect some professional relationships that they have. And they focus more on prioritizing other people over themselves. And their question is, would your book help people like them to kind of start their journey and focus more on themselves and what they're passionate about?
I mean, that's the core of it. You know, I think the core of the book to me is about asking you what you want out of your life and creating a plan for it, right? I really believe in being actionable, but only once you have a bit more of awareness on where you want to go, right? We can all do things and say we're going to do things, but they need to be truly anchored in on where you want to start. And so, I mean, I don't know obviously the details of the situation you're in, but you know, it is about coming forward on what is the actual thing that's holding you back in that conversation and from taking the next step, right? Like there's clearly maybe some fear that you need to work through or expectations that you need to work through. And the quicker you work through those things, you're going to be on the other side. And those are, you know, I have a whole chapter on the fear of failure, and I have a whole chapter on society's expectations and how you can, you know, start really working through those questions and putting a plan together to get to the other side.
Love that. So, before we wrap up, for everyone that's reading, of course, how can you, again, where can we find your book or where can people find you? So if they want to connect with you after, can they find you on the app? What's a good place to find you?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, lifepassbook.com for the book. And then to follow me, I'm probably most active on Instagram, and you can find me at Pyle, that's PAYAL.
Awesome. So thank you for everyone attending. I've loved having you on. We hope to have you back on again, Fishbowl Live.
Yeah.
We do have a, you know, large community of women and professionals. So definitely would love to have you back on Fishbowl. I hope everyone appreciated this conversation as much as I did. I definitely have learned a lot and really enjoyed this conversation. So thank you so much for taking time during your press tour to join us and kind of teach the community your wisdom. So thank you so much for joining. Everyone, please buy her book. I'm excited to read it. Please grab your copy. And everyone have a great Tuesday. I had to double check in.
Everyone, yeah, it is Tuesday. Yeah. Thanks so much for having me, Rachel. And it was so nice chatting with you all. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great day. Bye.
That's all, folks. Thanks again for listening to Hardly Working. Join us live next time and talk directly to the speakers and who knows, end up here. Fishbowl is a social network where professionals of the same industry have anonymous career conversations. You can download Fishbowl on the App Store or Google Play. If you want to host a Fishbowl live event, get in touch at live@fishbowlapp.com. See you soon!